Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Kevin Mueller. He is a partner in New World Bank, Merchant Bank out of Canada. If you have any questions, please go ahead and chat with us, or you can pose a question in the chat room or hashtag Apple Capital, or you can go ahead and give us a call at 347-324-3460. Kevin, welcome to the program. I'm sorry. Kevin, welcome to the program. They forgot to turn your mic on.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Tim?
Great. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on to the program. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. A lot of our listeners like to hear a personal view because they learn something different about the person every single time. So tell us about yourself, and then we can go how you got started.
Okay. Well, I grew up in this area where we are now in Halifax area, which is on the east coast of Canada. It was one of the first settlements in North America, and it's got a good history of merchant banking. So I've lived in French Canada, was in Quebec City, lived in Moncton, New Brunswick, and back to Halifax. I own my own retail service. For 10 years, sold that, and decided from my experience in that business that financing, really access to capital, was definitely the most significant challenge for me in running a small business. And I've recognized the need for help for small business owners in figuring out how that system worked and how to access the capital. And I realized some people were able to access capital and others weren't. And I didn't really feel like a master of that, and I wanted to learn about it. So what I did was I sold my business. I moved to Halifax. I started working in a car dealership, of all things, in the business office to learn how to write leases and just how the underwriting process worked. I moved from that into commercial mortgages and equipment leasing, and then I took one of the people from that company, and we formed our own merchant bank, which is more specifically taking over completely the financing of companies. That whole effort to financing, ongoing effort to properly finance and capitalize your business, and we take over the responsibility for that. For our clients. So that's, how my work kind of progressed into commercial finance, was just recognizing the need for it, going out, learning it. And as it turned out, we were pretty good at it. So we decided we'd help out other companies. And here we are.
So mainly your particular company, do you actually just lend them directly, or you kind of arrange portfolios of financing for the businesses? Depends on what the need is.
There's kind of two aspects to merchant banking. Merchant banking, like a lot of terms in finance, one word for five things and five words for one thing. That's why they need people in finance at all, actually. Make it confusing, and therefore you need specialists. And in merchant banking, there's really two lines of merchant banking. One is investment banking, where that merchant bank will go and they'll help companies, but really what they're doing is buying a piece of the company, or going and doing equity equivalent type investing or mezzanine lending. And then the other thing that gets done with merchant banking is the consulting side, where you're going in and you're recognizing the growth of a company, and so you come in, you organize their financing, you structure, source, and negotiate. And that's how my company has started out. We've been doing that, and now we've set up a structure. So by the end of this year, we will be lending ourselves. So right now, we have done our first 3 years without lending any money ourselves, although we have injected small amounts of capital into a couple of companies that we held on to and flipped our stake. But really, our focus has been on the consulting side. And having done that fairly well, it's given us a view to opportunities in the lending market where there's real gaps. There's no supply of capital going into certain industries with any reliability. So we've identified those areas, and we'll open our own funds to service that before the end of this year.
So is there a particular sweet spot or industry you guys like to gear to? Is it industrial, or is it merchant, like the retailer, or a service-oriented company?
Well, where we're the most effective, or shall we say where we stand out the most, is that we can take the most complicated operations and make the money work there and make the money work very well. So if you take someone who has, a complicated financial statement, like a manufacturer, where there's a lot of moving parts, you know, a manufacturer or maybe a distributor, say a larger service company, that's where we stand out the most, because most of the consulting that's out there is not that intuitive. So if, you know, in commercial brokering of money, I think that the standard response or the standard approach is you take the financials and you go get the money. What we do is we take a look at the financials, we work with the accountants, we might work on a file for 12 or 18 or 24 months before we get paid the first time, you know, because maybe it's too early to do the job properly and we continue to structure the books properly. So if you're in a business and we look at the business and we say, hey, there's great growth potential there, this is a company where if we put in $10, we'll make $1,000, you know, and that's what we're after. So if we buy into who is running that business and the potential that is there for that business to grow, then we'll go in and we'll start working with them. And that may involve, if the company looks like a goose on paper and it really needs to look like a duck in order to be capitalized properly by the best lenders, then we'll say, okay, let's start restructuring how your books look so that by the time we get to the end of your next fiscal year, you look like a duck, and we can easily get the money that you need as we go. And, that's all about the formula that exists now for the larger lenders or the most predictable low-cost lenders. It's all formula-driven. It's a matter of knowing the formula well enough that you can manipulate your experience with them. So we'll take care of any short-term needs, but really what we're doing is having a long view to properly structuring the company to always have access to the money that they need. In other words, to be an ideal borrower so that even if one institution fails you, you know, perhaps they have a policy or a focus shift that bumps you outside of their formula,
mm-hmm.
There's a lineup of other lenders who are waiting to have your business and to do what you need done because you've been so in the formula for, you know, the last couple of years. So, you know, we're a little bit more consulting focused perhaps than most commercial brokering. But for us, that's really been the secret to our success. The more money that our companies make, the more that they need to borrow in order to continue to grow. And so it creates a lot of repeat business for us.
What are the challenges you're seeing with businesses today? Is it mainly the capital or restricted lending environment or trade sales? Well, what are the common problems are you seeing?
if I was to simplify, I mean, obviously, we're generalists, and we take great mm-hmm. pride in knowing so many lending channels so intimately, being able to pick up the phone and just, you know, in 2 to 5 minutes sorting out, you know, what path this company is going to follow in terms of, you know, what channel can we get into and really have success in, you know, what lending channel we can get into and have success in and positioning ourselves to be properly facilitated. So, you know, I think the greatest challenge for companies these days, it's the small business to the medium-sized business. And the larger you get, perhaps it becomes easier to manipulate almost. It's more responsive in the mid-market space than it is in the small space. So mm-hmm. small business, nothing is built for the small business. It's all about where the lender gets their money from. That's where the formula comes from. It doesn't come from the businesses. So a lot of business owners have a hard time relating to the fact that where they get their money from, you know, this service to them, lenders are lending to them, and small business owners look at that as if it's a service to them, and they're the client, and the bank is the provider. Well, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you wouldn't want to sit down, and then the restaurant just serves you whatever they feel like serving you. You know, you want to have the meal that suits your appetite, your taste, your preferences. You know, it does not work like that with the banking system today. More so in Canada because there's less levels of banks. There's fewer different sizes of banks, and everything is much more actuarial only. Even the credit unions are becoming, almost exclusively formula driven. So there's less and less relationship lending in Canada. There's almost none already, and we can see that may happen in the U.S. as well. So the big problem, to get to the end of that whole line of thinking, is the largest problem that we see evolving in the U.S. is twofold. One is that many of the companies are relying on global opportunities. The world is becoming smaller in that there are many more companies have access to many more opportunities. So it's a plus and a minus. You have access to more opportunities, but more competitors mm-hmm. have access to your clients as well.
Okay.
And in order to compete in that world, you need to make adjustments, and you need to grow when you have nailed an opportunity. You need to grow with it immediately. Right? You need to take advantage of opportunities at that time. And that all requires access to capital. And then what's happening in the financing world, it is not responding to that reality at all. It's going the other direction. So everything is becoming formula-driven. And in the charter bank world, in both Canada and the U.S., companies are expected to remain static, to not grow. And if you grow, you're expected to do that by selling equity in your company, dropping equity or taking it out of your savings and dropping equity into your company. So in other words, if you don't want to lose or water down your equity, you need to grow at the pace that your retained earnings grow, which is much slower than how your market opportunities likely are growing.
So, Kevin, we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be back to continue that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll cover in a moment. With New World Merchant Bank. Be back in a moment.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
I'm sorry, now we're back again with Kevin with New Merchant, New World, I'm sorry, Merchant Bank. I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead and continue.
Right, so I guess we were talking about, you know, just being able to access capital has become more important because, you know, market opportunities are becoming more global and competition is becoming more global as well. And what's happening on the access to capital side is that things are becoming more formula-driven, mainly because the banks are more and more accessing their capital from money markets and international sources versus just their central bank. So that formula is being derived maybe in, you know, an Asian money market. You know, and it may have very little to do with the reality of doing business in North America. So, and it's not about servicing. It's about limiting risk and having a predictable outcome. So your lender no longer cares. If they know an individual company is going to lose them money and they're inside the formula and they know that there's an individual outside their formula where they could make a lot of money, but they're not going to because they're not in the formula, it's really not that relevant to the bank making money. Because what they make money off of is having a formula that, on average, produces a specific result. And that has to be all about the formula. So the account manager who's on the front line, it's detrimental to them if the account manager manipulates who gets the money and who doesn't too much. What the account manager is really supposed to do is follow the formula because the formula produces a predictable result.
Well, you, in your opinion, think that's a safe result, that they don't have to be faced with, that's holding them accountable? Or it's just, is there a realistic model for banks to go by?
I don't have a problem with that decision. I think that the way, the healthy way to look at that transition that these banks are making, in a way it's a good thing because the banks are now able to access international money markets more fluidly. That's evolving. Obviously, we had in the last few years, we had some fallout of learning curve along that front with the residential mortgages. You know, when there was some misrepresentation, perhaps of how closely lenders were following that the formulas that they said they were following. But you know, the world is learning how to do this, and I think it's a good thing because the money will flow better. The issue is that the gap lenders, the lenders who do things that are outside of formula, that needs to be rebuilt. Now, more so in Canada than the United States, because in the United States, you've consistently maintained a greater set of options in gap lending. Mm-hmm. In Canada, much less so. The charter banks in Canada dominated so much that they're really, when they were doing relationship lending and you could walk up to your banker and just say, this is what I had in mind, you were a trustworthy person, they know your family or they know you for 5 years or whatnot. I mean, you could finance almost anything. That's all gone now. So if you're not inside a formula, very difficult to get any money if you're not inside one of the standard formulas. And so there needs to be other lenders that go do that type of business, but at a reasonable rate, right? Not at 22%. Okay. Right, not at 22-36% or whatever. We need gap lenders who go in and take, you know, areas where they can specialize and try to fill in those to become more logic-based lenders than formula-driven lenders. So,
well, tell us about the formula. What, and I think in a nutshell, what types of things in this particular formula that the banks look for?
Well, you have liquidity ratios
okay.
that measure your ability basically to repay the debt, you know, but also to, you know, to keep up with your accounts payable and whatnot. So they're, you know, maybe 5 to 10 standard liquidity ratios that banks will look at. And what they're doing is comparing cash flow to the amount that you have to pay out to cover your debt. So if you're producing cash, are you producing enough cash to cover, say, 120 to 130% of what your debt payments are?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very common liquidity ratio. There's other ones like, you know, with larger companies, larger small business, where they'll look at your current liabilities compared to your current assets.
Okay.
And there are a number of ratios that they'll look at to try to keep the company in control. So if the company just grows without paying attention to how much capital they have access to, they can really get themselves in trouble. Now, many companies hit the wall, and fail, not because they can't sell their product or because they can't produce their product. It's because they go ahead and they do that without being aware of how important their access to capital is, and then they end up putting themselves in a position where they're going to be without cash for 6 months, and then everything hits the wall. So you can get in that position really, really easily. For example, if you're selling something here and you give 30 to 60 days and your accounts receivable then grows, it triples in size, well, that means that you pretty much should have 3 times the line of credit to cover that.
You know, okay.
So that you can ride out the period before which, you know, the people who purchase with you pay their bills. So a lot of people, when they're, you know, starting out in business, are not so keenly attuned to that. But these are things that you learn as you run businesses, and, you know, banks are supposed to, I guess, would be good if they were coaching people a little bit more in these areas, but they rarely have time to do that kind of thing. So,
in that particular situation, I mean to cut you off, should a company offer those type of financing? I know some companies, manufacturers, since they have most cases have larger margins, or service companies, they will offer their customers, hey, I'm going to give you up to 60 days on a new product or for this new particular service. You're saying that if they do offer that, they need to have some back financing to make sure that they can cover that. I don't know, like factoring or some type of instrument that's not going to kill them with the financing fees.
Yeah, I mean, factoring can be very expensive if you go outside of your banking relationship, right? So really, I mean, factoring tends to be more what you do if you haven't been able to cover it with your bank, with your primary lender. And there are some situations where outside factoring makes sense, and it's worth the money. You know, you end up with very large contracts and you just need to cover it that way. And then there's other companies that really can't afford to pay those kind of fees on accounts receivable financing. Really, they should be doing that with their primary banking relationship because, their margins are maybe small enough that that's all that they can afford to pay. But, what it comes down to is actually knowing what the impact is. And so, of course, if you knew... if you were blindfolded and you knew that you take one more step, you would fall off a cliff, you wouldn't do that. You know, but if you don't know the cliff is there, you may very well step off the cliff, right? So what we're promoting is, hey, become aware of how this game works, the formula of lending, right? Because there's limits to what you will have access to. And if you want to go past or outside or beyond those limits, which is probably a good idea if you have a growing company, you want to go beyond those limits, you need to have a plan, and you need to execute on that plan to make that happen. It's too complicated anymore. You know, all the baby boomers, when they grew their businesses, that is not what they experienced. They may have a hard time relating to the reality of how that has changed. And as I was saying, you know, it's more so in Canada, or it's happened earlier in Canada than in the United States. But it doesn't work on relationship anymore. Now it's about formula. So it's worth it to learn how to be good at manipulating that lending formula to get the money you need to grow your business. And if you need to drop in little pieces of equity or asset-based lending or other pieces like that that can help and really help you make it to the next level of bank financing, then that's what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put a dollar into your company and you can make $3 by having a dollar of capital, then really that should be one of the primary focuses of your business, is to become really good at doing that. And business owners don't usually have enough time or even the background to become familiar enough with how financing works to do that. So maybe they need some help.
Wow. Do you think a lot of business owners just look blindly, they build it and take the attitude they will come?
Yes. Yes, I think in our experience we see that a lot. You know, someone will have a product, they realize there's a desire, or a need, and a good response to their product or service, so they just start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the demand builds, and at a certain point then you know, they come in and they fill in the structure and the financing behind that. It's not a bad way to start a business, but at a certain point of growth, obviously you have to, you know, you have to put the structure and the strategy in place, or you're going to come to one of those insoluble, you know, points in time, right, where you're, you know, where the cash just is not enough to maintain the structure that you have in place. So, you know, I would really emphasize in our experience that it's very important to be aware of how much cash, like how much you can do with the amount of capital that you have to work with, because there are limits. And if you go beyond those limits, you can spoil your lender relationships. You can put yourself in a bad situation where your ratios do not support what you need to even survive anymore. You know, so once you cross that line and you do more than what you had the cash to do, in a very vulnerable situation. So it's much better to get in there, understand how the relationship of growth and need for capital work, and then just do it intentionally, because many businesses fail because they're not deliberately rolling out an access to capital strategy.
Well, okay. So kind of tell us about your process if someone comes to you looking for services, and also if U.S. companies can go to you as well, or you just exclusively mainly for the Canadian market?
We have a few clients in the U.S., but we're primarily actually on the east coast of Canada. So we have clients in western Canada and down the New York area. But our focus has been Atlantic Canadian business.
Okay. And if they come to you, what's the process that you would take them through for, and also what do they need to be prepared to give you if you actually begin talking?
Okay. Well, one of the first things that we look at is how the business works. You know, what are they selling? What's been the response or the development of their market so far? And that, I guess, is our way of understanding the immediate potential or the known potential of the company. Mm-hmm. We look at historically, what have they done so far? How well organized are their, is their bookkeeping and accounting? How sophisticated is it yet? And we just try to recognize, you know, proven potential, We recognize what's been developed in their company in systems in terms of how well have they learned how to use management or reporting tools. And then we look at, what's the unproven potential, right? Just the logical potential that the entrepreneur is espousing. And is it something that we have a very good gut instinct approval for, And if we're satisfied at the end of that we're dealing with good operators who are going to hang in there, they're going to work at this, they're going to be dedicated to succeed, they're going to make adjustments when they need to, they're learners, then we'll be interested in doing business with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put a proposal on the table for them of an ongoing relationship between our two companies. We'll basically take them under our wing if that proposal is accepted, and we'll just make sure that they survive and prosper. And, I was just talking with one of the companies we're pretty proud of this morning. 2.5 years ago, he came to us. He was just about to have his lines of credit shut down with his bank. Shortly after the credit crunch, they caught him using a line of credit for something he wasn't supposed to, and they were throwing companies under the bus then when they were trying to clean up their books as a result of the whole credit crisis. And this guy got caught up in that for something that normally wouldn't have been a big deal. And we took him, he was at $6 million then, he couldn't grow. Every time he took on new clients, it was a big deal because his line of credit was being reduced instead of increased. Anyway, we went in there. It was a good 18 months. We did some very temporary short-term things for him, but nothing significant. It took about 18 months for us to get everything turned around. And then, since then, we've quadrupled his financing, all good things, which enabled him to grow, and he's now on pace for $30 million a year as opposed to the $6 million a year he was when we first met him. Mm-hmm. So, it's just a matter of continuing to work on how well you're manipulating that lending formula so that, you need to buy a new $300,000 truck. It's a matter of picking up the phone, saying, I know we're still in the ratio, so how about we get this truck done? And then, you're just looking at, is it better for us to lease or finance the truck? And your lender's doing whatever you want. That's the place that you want to get to, and that's worth working for. That's hard for some owners to relate to because they're looking at the banks, like how well is the bank servicing me? And the bank's not looking at it like that. The bank is looking at how well do they fit in our formula. So there's a disconnect there. And when small business owners begin to accept, hey, the bank is a tool for me to access capital, but like most tools, you have to know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How can they contact you if they want to take a look at hiring your company?
Well, we have a website. It's www.newworldmerchantbank.com. So there's a little explanation on there and a blog, and they can get in there and contact us through the website. Or they can just call our toll-free number, which is 877-576-3566, and then reception will put them through, and we'll have one of our guys return the call and set up an appointment.
Okay, perfect. And what's that number again, your website again?
The website is newworldmerchantbank.com.
Okay.
And our toll-free number is 877-576-3566.
Perfect. And you're outside of, a few hours from Boston?
Yeah, well, we're like a day's drive from Boston. It's about, if you're driving Canadian style, you can get there in about 10 hours. But, if you're driving if you're driving, the speed limit's probably 12 hours. But basically, we have clients who are a lot farther away, you know, thousands of kilometers away from us, and we don't need to be in your backyard to do the job. Most of the deals that we put through, we never go face to face with either the clients or the lenders. It's you know, it's something that gets done over the phone and by email, and we work with the accountants, and it's all done. It's a very small world these days, so that's how most of the work gets done, even with our clients who are in the area. And you know, the face-to-face meetings and things like that are done strictly for relationship purposes rather than getting the work.
Okay, great. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you doing the interview today. Thank you for your time.
Well, thanks for having us on, Tim. I was pleased to find out about your radio program, and I'm glad that Apple is out there doing good things like this. I think it's good for small business owners and medium-sized business owners to get together and pool their knowledge.
Great. Well, thank you again. I really appreciate it, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Again, this has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for listening, and we do ask you, if you do have any comments or reviews, go ahead and email that to us, or also make comments, if you don't mind, within iTunes so we can see what get some feedback from you guys. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.